Mount Hope Lutheran Church. Do you have hope today? It's our name. Part of our name. Mountain of Hope. Our verse last Sunday, guiding verse, theme verse, if you will, Hebrews 11:1. I'll remind you if you weren't here. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. We talked about faith last week. We talked about both aspects of faith. Trust in God's reality. But then we also talked about the righteous response. If you remember, we looked at that Hall of Fame, the Faith Hall of Fame, and how those people in there trusted in the very real and present God, but they were also people of action. Today we're going to move on a little bit, and we're going to think about things hoped for. Hope. Here's our guiding verse, also out of Hebrews. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Hebrews 6:19. Hope. Author and pastor John Maxwell said, if there's hope in the future, there will be power in the present. Isn't that a great statement? If there's hope in the future, you will have power in the present. So what happens when you lose hope? Typically nothing. Followed by hopelessness, maybe even despair. There certainly is no power now or in the present if one does not have hope. Have you ever been there? Taken in by troubles, life's worries and problems. Maybe you're there today. Certainly it happens to all of us. It's called life. Some of you might be dealing with physical issues, broken bodies perhaps. Some might have broken hearts. Some of you might even be doubting whether God is listening to you, whether God truly loves you. We heard in our first reading today from the psalmist, New Living Translation, I'm worn out waiting for your rescue. English Standard Version says, my soul longs for your salvation. Can you sense the growing hopelessness, the struggle? Now, I've yet to share really much about my accident with you, other than the injuries and so forth and the rehab and all that, how that's all going. But I've had a growing number of you ask me if I learned anything. And that's a good question to ask me. I'm kind of hard-headed. But if God taught me anything, is there anything that you learned that you could share with us that might be helpful to us? And I guess I have to say I'm still working on that. But I can certainly say that I've learned a lot about this whole issue of hope. I think I understand it more clearly now. It wasn't an easy journey, to say the least, and my wife will tell you that I went through periods of hopelessness, feeling sorry for myself and just wondering what is going on. I shared with some of you who were at the Bible study last week that it's hard to describe the feeling of thinking you're in control and telling your son that you're going to go out for a bike ride and then wake up in the hospital, realizing you are not in control. What is going on? What am I doing here? What happened? And I know I asked that question over and over and over again. And then there was the helpless and hopeless feeling of being trapped in a hospital bed. Every time I moved, I had a nurse pounce on me, asking me what I was doing. Don't move. It was a literal prison for 3 days. Hopeless and helpless feeling of being able to do nothing. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in that feeling of helplessness? Powerless to do anything. And I remember long days and nights in particular, and one night I remember very well. I spent 5 weeks in a recliner by day and also at night, except for the walks that I took. I remember one night about 2 a.m. staring out of the windows. You could see out from where I sat, the stars and so forth. You could see the sky. And I remember having a panic attack. If you remember that neck brace that I wore, it felt like it was getting tighter and tighter. And then that torso brace, the pressure in my chest, I felt like I couldn't breathe. I felt like I was stuck and couldn't breathe. Another helpless feeling, another problem with not being able to control the situation. Our psalmist today continues, I've put my hope in your word. My eyes are straining to see your promises come true. When will you comfort me? And then verse 84, how long must I wait? Have you ever asked God that question before? I know I did. I don't know about you, but for me there's comfort in even knowing that it's okay to ask God that question. And it's interesting that God didn't remove the burden. Perhaps He hasn't for you either. But what's comforting though? And what is the good news? Is that God keeps His promises. I have put my hope in your word. And this promise came to me, and I continue to cling to it. Jesus said, be sure of this, I will never leave you, even to the end of the age. There's hope in Jesus' words. And it's really quite amazing how Jesus fulfilled those very words in my own life as I dealt with the struggles and hopelessness. And He truly comforted me. There was hope, and there is hope in His word. But if I was to prescribe anything, I would encourage you to get into God's Word. We know it's alive and active, and He works through it. And He will be present with you through His Word. 1 Peter 1:3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's by His great mercy that we have been born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live with great expectation. Do you hear the hope in those words? living with great expectation. Now, Jesus said there will be troubles in this world, but take heart. I've overcome the world. I will never leave you. I will always be with you. Psalm 25:5, lead me by your truth. Teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long, I put my hope in you. Psalm 71:5 and 6, O Lord, you are my hope. I've trusted you, O Lord, from childhood. Yes, you have been with me from birth. From my mother's womb, you've cared for me. No wonder I'm always praising you. Put your hope in God's word. God worked in my life fulfilling that promise of never leaving me. And then he also fulfilled that promise in another way, through people, through his church. And the one that stands out first of all is my wife. She was the rock. Bore the brunt of everything. My greatest cheerleader. What a wonderful presence and gift from the Lord. And then there's all of you, the church, bringing God's presence through cards and gifts and letters, visits. I guess I'll continue to say it, but it's just been a truly humbling experience. But it's the hope. It's the hope that God brings us in a very real and tangible way through His Word, through people. He's present. There's hope through Jesus. You know, it's my hope that we continue to build each other up here at Mountain of Hope. Be each other's hope and presence. But it doesn't stay in here. Think about the people out there who need the hope we share. Think of all the people who could be our guest. After they come here, we'll turn into friends and then ultimately part of our family, this family of hope. Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. In him we hope. Our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is Jesus. I don't know what you're experiencing today. The struggles you might be going through, or the questions, the doubts, whatever it is. But I tell you, I learned this and I can share with you with utmost certainty to never give up hope. Never. Don't lose hope. He's the anchor for our soul. Sure and certain. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll now receive our morning tithes and offerings.